The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DK Network. However you're taking us in this morning, we sure do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander along with my haircut buddy, Kelly Bidlin. We both got haircuts yesterday.
Yeah, we get sharp. Come on, we take this show seriously every single week.
We're adorable. We got haircuts together. We didn't get them together. We just got them unbeknownst to each other. Can you imagine if we were if we talked that way to each other? Oh, you look adorable.
You look adorable. Yeah. I sat there for 45 minutes with a Paul Mitchell magazine, just looking at stuff while Gil was getting his haircut.
Paul Mitchell magazine. We got these headphones, so we're like super. Insecure about our hair now.
Yeah. We like to pull back the curtain.
Yeah,
so as you can see, these headsets kind of go there. It just depresses my hair all day. So it really screws it up.
It really does affect you. Yeah. We got a great show today, including Right Angle Sports. Michael Craig will be here to release a college basketball play. That worked out splendidly last week. When he releases it, the lines move globally on it, and it was an easy-peasy winner this past week as well. So that's the trifecta. You need the win at the end. The first part is him just coming on and giving the pick. The second part is the move, you getting ahead of it. And the third is the actual victory, the most important part. So he'll be on later on the show to join us. And Nick Bakay, Kelly, do you know who that is? Nick Bakay joins us today.
I do. Excited to have him on.
Yeah, he comes on, I'd say, every couple years on the show. He's told great OJ stories in the past. He's one of the pioneers in terms of, you know, we all take betting now for granted in mainstream media, but 20-plus years ago, he was sort of a pioneer on ESPN. For those of us of a certain age, you might remember Advantage Push. That's Nick Bakay. He is a Hollywood guy. He is the co-showrunner, along with Chuck Lorre, of a show that premieres tonight on Max, on HBO Max, called Bookie. Bookie. Yeah, we got a little gambling show happening on Max. It stars Sebastian Maniscalco. You know who that is?
I'm not very familiar with him. I was talking with the crew before the show. I'm not extremely familiar with him, except I know he's a big deal.
He's a big deal. He plays the Win here in town. He's got that, you know, he talks like my parents.
It's his exact impression Jeremy was giving.
Is that right?
Yeah,
he has that sort of talk to him. Anyway, he's in it. So is Charlie Sheen. So we'll talk to Nick Bakay about that. We'll talk to him about the old ESPN days when he was Advantage Pushing all over the place and how that came to be. So pumped to have him on the show. Tim Murray on the college football. Mishu Goss coming up momentarily. I can't wait to talk about that. And I know yesterday about that I was like, I wouldn't be outraged on either side, but you could tell by the end of the show which side I kind of laid on. I'm on the FSU side, right, with Futak.
I mean, look, I think me and you are both together. Like, yes, I lead that side too, but even as an FSU grad, I understand it if they push him out. But I'm not going to understand it as much now.
No. What do you mean now?
Just after we saw yesterday and them being put in and slotted in at fourth.
Yeah, I don't make much of those things. I mean, we'll see if Tim, you know, thinks that there was a tell in there. I think they can go whichever way they want coming up before Sunday anyway on that. But I definitely am of the thinking of the people who would be outraged if FSU got in. Those are the people that I sort of am amused by the most, because in the end, you have to ask yourself two questions, I think. We'll talk to Tim Murray about this. But one, if Alabama lost their starting quarterback, would they be treated in this way? And the answer is no, they wouldn't. And I don't care. Oh, someone as high as big of a Heisman candidate as Jordan Travis was down to a backup. Well, Alabama's backup wouldn't have been as low. But you're making subjective, you know, analysis at that point. And the other subjectivity is, I don't want my committee, the same folks who are like, hey, no, but Texas beat Alabama, therefore no one should hypothetically think Alabama should go in over Texas. I know it's a different thing because it's an injury, but it still falls under the category of subjectivity. I don't want my committee projecting forward what they think. I want them analyzing what's happened.
Yes.
So, to me, FSU should be in. We'll get Tim Murray's opinion on that. First of all, before we do anything, congratulations to VSiN's own Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT. He is the winner of Bets Giving 2.
There we go.
Yes.
Way to go.
Or so we think. I don't know. What if like Dave Ross shows up with his phone and is like, I want an election recount. I mean a contest recount, sorry. Or some like past VSiN. Yeah. JVT wins it this morning. There was a couple things that were happening. One, he didn't realize he needed to make a bet, I guess, and he had to make one at the end.
So the standings were way tighter than I think he thought yesterday.
Correct.
So we were recording Hardwood Handicappers, and I was kind of filling him in where I'm at. And I could see the fear in his eyes a little bit.
Yes.
Of like, oh, wow, he's that close to me? How many other people might be that close to me?
That's right.
So
there was a little mystery, is what we're saying.
I think he stood pat yesterday and didn't make any bets because he did have the lead. Adam Burke... So it swung on a few bets, got ahead of him. So JVT was filling in on Follow the Money this morning for Mitch. And I think he needed to find 6 a.m. Pacific time was the cutoff.
So he had two things. Yeah.
He needed to make up some ground.
He had to get it in before the deadline. He did get it in before the deadline. And here's the part where I'm not even sure he or you know. He ended up betting... On a tennis player on a tennis WTA tour event in Andorra,
live betting it
on Erika Andreeva. Erika Andreeva, for those of you who are not tennis hardos, and I'm not sure JVT even knows that, is not the best Andreeva in her family at tennis.
That's great.
Mira Andreeva is the up and coming great Andreeva in the Andreeva family on the women's tour. Erica's her sister, so that makes it even more awesome that JVT won with her.
So she dropped the first set, I guess. He got in live at plus 235. She won the next two sets, but I got a text from him at like 5:37 where he's like, I don't know that this match is going to finish like in time.
So, good for him, man.
Good JVT. For JVT.
Now, what does he win? Does he win the Shiva trophy?
He just gets that trophy. Or the belt. He gets the belt.
Do you know the Shiva reference, by the way?
No.
You ever watch the show The League, that fantasy football show back in the day?
Yeah, I did, like when it first started.
We all had the same experience with it.
Is it still going?
No. Okay. I think it went like seven seasons.
So that's like I legit watched three or four seasons then I had to tap it.
I legit watched one and a half seasons.
Okay.
But I remember the mythical trophy was the Shiva because...
Oh, yeah, that's what it was? Yeah,
I guess somebody had lost their virginity to some girl named Shiva and that was their trophy. They treated her like a demigod, the whole thing. So congratulations, Jonathan Von Tobel. He's Betsgiving 2 champ. Can't wait for Betsgiving 3.
We think. You're right. There's totally a possible reach out coming today.
We think he won. All right. NBA in-season tournament fever. Last night was awesome. Then let me just say it again. I was like, what is Adam Silver doing? Do you think we're the Premier League? Do you think we're European soccer having tournaments within seasons? This turned out to be great. It turned out to be great from a betting perspective. Last night was the last night of the group stage. 6 spots were up for grabs in the quarterfinals. In the East, the game that ended up having the biggest impact was the Nets win over the Raptors. That handed the group to the Celtics. If Toronto had won, the Magic would have won the group by virtue of a home win head-to-head over the Celtics. But because it was a three-way tie, Boston's big margin of victory versus the Bulls, three-way tie, they Boston ends up beating Orlando and Brooklyn by having the best point differential. That was the East. Then in the West, there was a lot of things happening. Houston could have gotten a spot. If they'd beaten Dallas, they'd lose to Dallas. That means the Pelicans won their group. Minnesota, they were eliminated even though they won. They needed to win by significant margin. It basically came down to the Warriors-Kings game last night. And because at that point, you knew it was sort of the Lakers and Suns were going to play in one game. Sacramento couldn't lose by more than 12 in order to advance. And they trailed by 24 in the first half. They trailed by 17 at the half. And then they came roaring back and on a circus shot by Malik Monk win it 124 to 123. So what you have now is the quarters. That was awesome last night. Awesome.
It was. I think that my only critiques are I think they got to go like last week of the NFL and start all these games at the exact same time.
Yes.
Because the point differential is so important. And the fact that Golden State and Sacramento knew last night exactly what they needed to get to just felt a little unfair. Meanwhile, you have Boston and Chicago playing where Boston's hacking Andre Drummond with 7 minutes left of the game to put him on the line to miss free throws because they're trying to extend their point differential as much as they possibly can.
And Billy Donovan got upset about it.
That's what I'm wondering.
That's the assignment. He should know not to get upset about it.
But then you had even players yesterday talking about like this feel like the integrity of the game feels weird with doing this. Even like winning players. I don't know.
You can't adapt. It's that difficult to adapt.
I agree with you. And clearly the teams did, right? Yes. Every team that we any motivation questions we had, throw those out the window after last night. Almost every single one of those teams.
I never doubted the motivation. I know a lot of people are like, $500,000 is nothing to an NBA player. No, do the math. It is to the guys who are making, it's nothing to the guys who are making $40 million, but $500K is $500K to guys who are making significantly less than that. That's a lot of money. So you have the quarters, and I agree with you from a gambling perspective also that everyone should be at the same time, because then I don't know, it works both ways. You'd have to stagger your bets through the night, I guess, the way that was done last night. The quarters are set. That's next week. That's on Tuesday. The first two games are on Tuesday. That's essentially the 3-2 games, if you will, between the Celtics are at the Pacers Tuesday night. The Pelicans are at the Kings out west. And then on Wednesday, it's the wild card versus number one seeds, if you will, in the east and west. The Knicks are at the Bucks. The Suns are at the Lakers. And then the semis are here in Vegas.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Yeah.
You have any futures still alive here?
I do. I've got a Suns ticket, 29-1.
You got the Pacers, 18-1.
Here we go. If I was getting involved now, I think that Eastern Conference bracket I would not be messing around with, just because the Celtics and Bucks they're both in this now. They're both on a course to kind of meet in the Eastern Conference final side of it. So I would probably be avoiding the East. Of course, there's one team on this list, Gil, you know I usually got some love for, that has a star player returning to their lineup. It would be the New Orleans Pelicans. If you're going to take a flyer, I think that's the team I'd be looking at.
Immediately when you say that, I'm like, what are you talking about, Kelly? The Hawks and the Heat aren't in this.
Yeah, thanks, Atlanta.
Yeah, those are Kelly's go-to teams, the Hawks and the Heat, for our primetime action days. But, yeah, the Pelicans would be your number three. So 12-1 on the Pelicans would be your only recommendation here. Good for the NBA. I like it.
I think it was great. Interested to see if they change anything for next year. But, yeah, can't wait for the quarterfinals.
JVT wins it on not even the best Andreva in the family at tennis. Good for him. We'll come back. Tim Murray on college football next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, we're giving you one last chance to sign up on our best deal of the year. Kelly's the bouncer on this. He's at the door. Get in or don't. Sign up on our Black Friday special today. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through May 1st for only $60, including daily best bets, unlimited access to our exclusive betting splits, premium analysis, 24/7 video access, plus all our betting guides and best bets for the upcoming College Bowl, Super Bowl, and March Madness. This offer expires on November 30th, so start betting smarter today. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up on our Black Friday special now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Ray Pierce, let me put down my Georgia futures ticket to chime in on the FSU thing. I firmly believe they should be in at number four, win or lose, against Louisville. You get it? Because they would play Georgia. You understand what he's saying? It's pretty good. This is from Over the Levee. Yeah, this is responding to a Cleve TA tweet. This is why, if you listen to Guessing Lines on Monday, the two I liked the best were San Francisco and Houston over the Broncos. Cleve TA pointing out, in this five-game winning streak for the Broncos, 30% of their drives have started following an opponent's turnover. That's 11% higher than second-place Niners in that category. And the gap between Denver and San Francisco is the same as San Francisco and the number 28 team, the Rams. And then Over the Levee responds, as Gil said, the fumble luck's got to stop. This isn't the 83 skins we're talking about.
I mean, it's fascinating. It's great what they've done, but that's a massive gap. Like, that is a good example of what's going on.
Hey, if you
team.
Can guarantee they're going to be +3 in turnovers every day, sure. Right, they'll win football
games. I'll bet on them every time.
Let's talk some college football. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman hosts a show here at VSiN each and every Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. It's called VSiN Prime Time. His name is Tim Murray. How you doing, Timothy?
I'm good, Gil. Back from our old stomping grounds down in the D.C. area for a little turkey day, and back here in Vegas, ready to, you know, this is championship town, because we got not one but two conference championship games this weekend.
Yes. Yes, we do. We'll get to that momentarily. One of the things, by the way, because Tim and I both share a D.C. background, I love that Steve Zabin has both of us on his pod all the time. It is, for people who are from the DMV, Zabe is, he's the best, would you agree with this? He's the greatest talk show host in the history of that market, sports talk radio. And for whatever reason, all kinds of machinations on radio, he's no longer there. But just being on his show does tickles me in a way that it wouldn't for anyone else. Is that the same with you?
So I worked with Zabe for 5 years. I was on his morning show, and then we worked together at ESPN 980 for many, many years. So look, Zabe, very influential in my entire career. We used to butt heads in a friendly way on his show all the time. It was funny. He has a very, very big following, not only in the DC area, but across the country. Cause yeah. He did a nationally syndicated morning show. And boy, his group of fans would come after me a lot because I would just, you know, I would push his buttons a little bit, which was, you know, I was in my mid 20s then.
Everything.
No, I love Zabe. Yeah. Zabe will always kind of be near and dear in my heart, no matter what. But always love shooting the breeze with Zabe. And he always kind of relied on me for college football, college hoops. So it was kind of one of the biggest breaks, Gil, in my career was being a part of his morning show. I think I was on it for at least 3 years.
Yeah. You know what Zabe calls him? The Big Ginger. Love that nickname. Great. Big Ginger. All right.
Baby Scalabrini he's thrown in there.
Yeah, Baby Scalabrini. All right. Well, let's rely on you for some college football before we get to your thoughts on some of these games real quick. Okay. Just the two top questions. One, if FSU wins, according to the Tim Murray Bible, they're in, right? No matter how they win. Yes.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. We have not seen a undefeated Power 5 champion get left out. I don't think it helped, Gil, that Louisville lost this past weekend. But what did help is that Louisville only dropped to 14 in the rankings. So, my thought process all along was, look, if they beat Louisville, prior to Louisville losing to Kentucky last weekend, it's a top 10 win. So they're not going to get left out. I still believe that. I still believe Florida State controls its own destiny, so to speak. So, I think Florida State is in no matter what, as long as they win. If they lose, they're out. I think it's that simple, and I think the committee will do that. So, yeah, I am in belief that Florida State is in with a win.
The other thing is if it ends up with all the results, ends up in a
– it can get really messy.
Yeah, if it comes down to an Alabama versus Texas decision, what is your instinct on how the committee is going to go? Obviously, Texas having beaten Alabama earlier this season.
I'm just of the belief, while I think results need to matter, and I know I remember last year Nick Saban talking about odds makers and power ratings. At the end of the day, they had two losses last year, right? And I'm a big believer, hey, man, we're gamblers. This is a gambling network, but at the end of the day, results have to matter, and Texas beat Alabama. That said, if Alabama beats Georgia, I believe they will get in over Texas because we have yet to have a situation, Gil, whether we agree with it or not, where the SEC, the perceived best conference in college football, has been left out of the party. And I have a hard time envisioning Alabama, who would have beaten Georgia, which therefore would become the best win of the college football season, would be left out of the tournament. So there's part of me that hopes it does happen just to see the utter chaos in the final four team playoff. But then there's also, like, I'll say this, Gil, just as a football fan, and, you know, apologies to the Seminole fans out there, I hope Florida State loses because I believe the four best football teams in college football right now are Georgia, Michigan, Oregon, and Texas. And I would love to see those four teams in a playoff. I think that would be phenomenal for us as bettors, phenomenal for us as college football fans. Do I think it'll happen? Probably not. But I think the cleanest and best conference championship would be Oregon beats Washington. They go to 3. Texas beats Oklahoma State. Louisville beats Florida State, and then we've got Georgia, Texas, and we've got Oregon, Michigan. I think that would be fantastic for college football to have those games on New Year's Day.
Tim, I'm not a fan of clean. I'm a fan of dirty. I want FSU winning.
I really do. Yeah. I think there's It's going to be, look, if Georgia loses to Alabama, it's going to be all sort of dirty because Georgia is going to be complaining, hey, we're 12-0. We have three top 25 wins, you know, two in the top 11, right? That schedule, which we all laughed at and said, it's terrible. They end up beating Missouri. They're in top 10. They end up beating Ole Miss. They're top 12. Tennessee, for some reason, is still top 25. They beat them. So if Alabama beats Georgia, it is going to be all sorts of dirty come Sunday.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the 30 to 1 minute capsules on this. Your favorite play of all the championship week games is?
I like Boise State. I think Boise State, since firing Andy Avalos, has found a new gear. Their backfield is finally healthy with Genty and Helani. This was my preseason pick to win the Mountain West. Boise State certainly underachieved as the year went on. Some kind of fluky wins to their resume, but I like Boise State. You could find a cheap money line out there. I laid -$1.30 yesterday. I think it's up to -135 or so in some spots. Anything under three, I'm okay with. Look, UNLV's been phenomenal this year. The best cover team in all of college football, 10-2 on the season. But I think Boise State has just found another gear, Gil, since firing Andy Avalos. And boy, I mean, you talk about a team that, you know, flipped a switch once they fired their head coach. So I like Boise State either on a short money line price, which is what I laid, or anything under three. I think they win at Allegiant Stadium on Saturday.
Yeah, Mountain West championship game is not decided like other championship games. Boise,
by the way, you want dirty? I mean, yeah. I have some friends at San Jose State, Gil.
Oh, man.
And they are, let's just say, not pleased.
Yes.
This was all... how this was all decided. So, that was a very ugly and clunky process to get who is going to be playing in the conference championship.
Sure was. All right, give me your second and third within a minute here.
I kind of like Miami of Ohio. I think they've got a really tough defense. We're starting to see the market move. Where you sit there at the D, that's just moved down to 7. DraftKings is, I think, still 7.5. So I do think Miami, they've played Toledo already. Now, it was a weird situation earlier this year where Miami lost their starting quarterback, Brett Gabbert, in that game against Toledo. But I like Miami to keep this thing close. I don't know if they can win it outright, but I do like the... I do like the Red Hawks a little bit, catching 7.5. And then if forced to pick another one, I would look a little bit towards Oregon laying 9.5, but haven't made that bet yet. But real quickly, Gil, what's interesting is I'll say this. If you like, if I'm trying to look here, Texas to make the playoff is +155. So if you think Louisville is going to beat Florida State, and that's a big if, but if you think Louisville is going to beat Florida State, I would go to DraftKings and play Texas to make the playoff at +155 instead of playing Louisville on the money line.
Okay. I like that one. All right, we'll scratch your third pick. We'll make that your third pick right there. Tim, VSiN Primetime each and every Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
All right, Gil, see ya.
Tim Murray, everybody. From one big ginger to another big ginger, Will Hill on the other side. Like I did that right there? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Bye. We got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches for a moment. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches, they're already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. I will spell it for you, Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the his. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from... Purdue Jesse Welch congratulating JVT on taking down the prestigious, and he capitalizes, prestigious bets giving contest. A true display of all skill, no luck involved at all. Congratulations, JVT. And JVT responds in kind, which I love JVT's attitude about it. He said, "I knew the tennis player I bet on this morning would totally come back." It's very good.
Bets giving update, by the way. JVT texts me that he found out that Adam Burke actually finished with less money than what he had before he made the tennis bet.
So he didn't even make the tennis bet.
Wow. He could have lost it.
He could have lost with the tennis. He put himself in a all-risk, no-reward situation. Mike Stacks Week 13 survivor dilemma. Oh, this is good. He said Steelers over Arizona or Jags over Cincinnati. Oh, I have an opinion on this. Then forward to week 17. Oh, he beat me to it, which is brutal. You could save the Jags over the Panthers. More stress, no sleep. All I think about when I work at home and laying in bed, just $116,000 on the line in mine. No big deal. You're exactly right about Jacksonville. First of all, I'd have been out twice, if not three times already, so I'm probably not the guy to ask. But I had Jacksonville saved for exactly the week you're talking about because they do host Carolina later in the season. So I think while they are tempting this week, you probably hold them for later.
Oh, man. All right. It's always so tough to talk about when we're not in it.
We're not in it.
It would take so much for me to have to go play the Steelers this weekend.
Well, so here's your choice. And he said he made it a choice just between those two teams. So maybe he doesn't have these others. But if it were a choice, this is really there. We'll bring in Will Hill. By the way, Will Hill joins us now. VEASAN's stalwart. You can find him on every show on the network. He's also on Twitter at NotTheWillHill. He's the star of the Megapod, one of the stars, and, of course, of the Bear Bets pods, Chris Felica's outfits over there at Fox Sports. How you doing, Will?
Boys, what's going on? Kelly, happy Thanksgiving. Gilly, I had some futures on you for Betsgiving that you let me down.
So oh, I'm sorry.
Those didn't cash, but that was a fun contest. It was fun to follow, fun to root people along, and good to see JVT cash.
So many inside jokes there. I operated in a vacuum that whole tournament. It was pretty amazing. So here, if you had to choose between these three, all right, let's say you've, and most people have used, I'll start with you, Will. You've used the Cowboys. You've used already the Dolphins, so you don't have them available to you at all. And you have also used the Chiefs. So your choice, you're going to save the Jaguars. Your choice comes down to one of these three games. Which would you take? Your choices, and you use the Cowboys if I didn't mention that as well. Your choices are the Chargers at the Patriots. Oh. That's choice already with the growth. That's choice number one. The Steelers hosting the Cardinals. Or choice number three, the Buccaneers hosting the Panthers. You must pick one for Survivor. Where do you go?
Oof, I don't know. Do we know if Baker's playing? I think I would take the Steelers just because, like, the Chargers, you just rule that out immediately. I want nothing to do with them. I want nothing to do with Patriots. I can already answer your megapod of game you want nothing to do with. It is Chargers-Patriots, so we eliminate that
yes.
one.
Yeah.
I don't know who's playing quarterback for the Bucs, so I'll go with the Steelers, although I did take Arizona plus the points this week. I do think that line's a little high, but by default, I'd sort of pick Pittsburgh here.
Kelly?
This would be Chargers for me. And actually semi easy to live with if it goes wrong just because you're picking the Chargers. Like, you have to be aware that something absolutely horrible could go wrong with it.
So you'd be okay with that.
If the Chargers are going to lose that game, they're going to charger it completely.
Well,
you don't have to worry about the Patriots beating them.
I think the self-loathing on losing on the Chargers ratchets up. I think I'm with you, Will, because Tomlin will figure out some magic beans way of winning the game even if they stink.
That would be the other side.
Yeah.
That's the flip side to the Chargers, right?
Yeah.
It's the Mike Tomlin magic beans. I don't think, for what Will said, I don't think as of right now you can consider Tampa Bay because you don't know what's going on with Baker.
Yeah, okay. Will, as far as week 13, maybe you just tipped us off. Is that your big play, the one you just mentioned, or what else you got?
I just thought that it was six. I mean, I don't know if there's still sixes out there. 5.5, it's a difference. It's not a huge difference. I just thought that was a lot of points. I know you're kind of buying low on Arizona here. That was a dismal performance. And, hey, maybe they are going to end up with the first pick in the draft. But you still got a decent quarterback, a Pittsburgh team that can't really get separation from anybody. So I thought the 5.5, six was a lot there. I like everybody else. Took the 49ers. I think he kind of missed the boat there. At three, I don't love it. So, you know, maybe a money line too, but that's one where it kind of got away from me. It does worry me a little bit. Everyone's on the 49ers. The Philly can sit here and play the home underdog aspect of it and, you know, get themselves fired up. But I just think this is a tough spot for Philly. Playoff revenge, short rest. They basically had to play five quarters last week. I think this lines up for the 49ers. And bets aside, I am kind of rooting for the 49ers. I thought we got a raw deal last year in the NFC title game. I was so excited
for
that game.
We
didn't get a fair fight. And people could say, oh, Philly would have won anyway. Maybe, but you don't know that. Nobody knows that.
Yep.
Absolutely, yeah. So, and I did play the game. Was it tomorrow night? Dallas, Seattle. I took Dallas team total over 27.5. Their last three home games, they've scored 40 plus. I think it's 43 points, 45, 49. Six straight home games with 30 plus. Seattle's no great defense. So that 27.5. There's some 27.5s out there. There's some 28.5s. Make sure you get the best number. That's obviously a key number, but the 27.5 looked a little light to me.
Yeah, that game looked like it was good on paper, right? A few weeks back, Seahawks at the Cowboys looked like it was going to be this great matchup. Cowboys favored by 9.5. Nine consensus. As
Seahawks now a big dog to miss the playoffs, too.
Yeah. We'll get into, Kelly and I will get into a couple of adjusted season win totals after the break as well. Okay. What about college football? I mean, this is the greatest week, man. I know we might have said that last week, too. But that's rivalry week, Will. And, you know, the records go out the windows. And apparently the way you ref a game, according to Brock Osweiler as well, goes out the window. But what about these 10 games? What's your favorite play amongst them?
Favorite play? It would be, I think it's under, I think, I don't know if you can still get a 55, 54 and a half. That is a key number. So shop around. We'll call it under 54 and a half. Bama, Georgia. I just think the two best units in that game are both defenses. I think Smart and Saban are both sort of conservative by nature. So if it's fourth and two midfield, especially early, they'll probably punt instead of going for it. I think with these big games, there's a little bit of a feeling out process. Now, look, I said that and thought that last week, Michigan, Ohio State, and three drives in, I was kind of counting my money that looked like an under, and then just that game completely exploded on us, especially the first half under. That was a tough beat, but I do like the under of that game. I don't think we'll get a seven just in terms of the side. I don't think we'll get a seven there. I think I could see, because Bama looked bad last week, I could see that going to like 6.5, especially on game day. But I think if it did hit 7, it wouldn't last long. But to me, that's an under game. I just don't think the winner of that game is in the 30s. To me, that's not a team where both these teams are in the 30s. It's like a 28-24 type of game. So I do like the under there. And over Texas, Oklahoma State, 55. I don't know if that number is still there. It was 5 minutes ago. I know our buddy Fez gave it out, so maybe it's going up a little bit. I just think Texas is going to be dressed to impress here. They're going to try to run up the score. If they have a comfortable lead, they'll try to get some style points and maybe stick one in late. Oklahoma State's a team that scores points, gives up points. They play at a fast pace, so to me that game gets into the 60s. So those are the two ones I really like the most.
By the way, you bring up our buddy Fez. Talk about Steve Fezzik, who's in a second place in Circa Millions.
I haven't heard.
What's that? Third?
I hadn't heard.
Oh, yeah. You hadn't heard. You said, yeah, second place. I'm of the wish that I'm thinking. Half of me wants him to win because I root for him. The other half of me is terribly concerned about how unbearable he will become if he wins. So I'm very conflicted on this matter. I don't know where you stand on it.
I'm 100% rooting for him. I think he won't be as bad as people think because it'll be like his third contest win. I think that'll sort of speak for itself. So,
okay.
I mean, at least immediately, it wouldn't be as bad as you think. So,
yes, I'm sure.
Rooting for Fez, that's awesome, man. I'm jealous. That's got to be so much fun, so stressful. That's just an awesome position to be in, though.
Yeah, I'll go 51-49. I'm rooting for him on the 51. Yeah, I'm sure he will become as sweet as pie on Twitter afterwards. Okay. Let's go to anything else that you find yourself betting on these days. Have you made any college basketball futures bets at all? Anything like that?
No, I actually did. I added UConn last week. I think I got 18 to 1, something like that. I mean, just you put them against these non-conference teams, they dominate. It's funny. They struggled in the Big East last year, but they were great before it. They were great after it as they ran through the tournament. I think they finished like third or fourth in the Big East, but they looked the part again. They've got the big guy clinging. They got Caravan. They could repeat. It's been a while since we've had a back-to-back champion, but they certainly looked the part. I know Arizona's good. I still don't trust Purdue, so I did add UConn. And I know we're running out of time, but back to the NFL. I played these separately, and I've talked about these individually, but there are books out there that let you parlay awards, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I threw a little money on Purdy MVP parlayed with Tomlin Coach of the Year, 254-1.
Oh,
why not?
Oh,
I think Purdy's live. I think if San Fran wins this week, you look at his EPA, he's number one by a wide margin. I think Hurts is not a justified favorite. And to me, Coach of the Year is wide open as well. Both those races are a lot of fun, and still there's a lot of time to go. So what the hell? 254-1. I played them both separately, but the parlay there makes a lot of fun.
That makes a lot of fun is exactly what it does. Football perspective on Purdy. Purdy's completing 70% of his passes. Only 35 quarterbacks who have completed at least 69% of their passes, minimum 300 attempts in NFL history. Among that group, Brock Purdy averaging 13.4 yards per completion, the highest of any of them. I think he's winning MVP. I really do. Will, thank you as always. We'll talk to you on the Megapod tomorrow.
All right. See you guys.
My man, Will Hill at not the Will Hill, Megapod and Bear Bets Pod star. We're coming back. NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. $5, that's it. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. That's code VSiN. The crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Joe Abraham, looking forward to the Nick Bakay appearance on the show later today. For those who missed it, he is the co-showrunner of the show Bookie, which premieres tonight on Max, HBO Max. That stars not only Charlie Sheen, but Sebastian Maniscalco. So we're looking forward to that. He says, Nick Bakay was great on ESPN back in the day. Looking forward to Bookie. The numbers guys, Nick Bakay, exclamation point. He says, I swear he was on a parody SportsCenter show on Comedy Central, and it was hilarious. But it appears the whole thing was scrubbed from the internet. Or am I totally misremembering my childhood? Any recollection? I do not remember that. But, of course, he was, as we mentioned, pioneer in terms of putting sports betting out on the mainstream when he used to do these fictionalized bits where he and his wife were betting on football. Advantage push. Jason H11, I know the best place in Vegas to get a haircut, Gil. I'll trade you for the name of that sushi place. No deal. Numbers guy also says, Zabe, where you at? And what you hauling? The greatest. Yeah, a little tribute to Steve Zabe, who Tim Murray and I were talking about.
Yeah, great story by Tim. Recognizing where we all got starts in this business, because we a lot of us just wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for certain people, certain opportunities.
Absolutely.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And Zabe, and I cannot stress this enough. If you grow up, every region of the country has this, right? Boston's got their guys. New York, obviously, with Mike Francesa and Mad Dog, the biggest of all. But in D.C. sports talk radio history, which is not nearly as long as that of the others, so D.C. sports talk didn't arrive till 1993, and it was like a Tony Kornheiser-led thing at the time. But Steve Zabin, without question, was the biggest name, and so it's super awesome for those of us who grew up listening to him. And Tim, who got to work with him. Last name, Nash. All my entries are out for Survivor after last week, so now I just focus on work, sleep, and my health instead of thinking 24/7 who I'm picking this week. Life sucks now. that's what most people feel about that. And Doug Wedge. JVT equals tennis hardo. Confirmed. And one last one. This is from Greg Jones. L.A. Jones. This is the guy who's still alive in the 9 million plus Circa Survivor, whose mom passed away, and he thought he clicked on Detroit, but instead he clicked on Green Bay. He says, don't you want to save Pittsburgh for next week when they're at home versus New England? It's Tampa Bay or the Chargers for me, and it's completely taken over my life with me flipping back and forth every 5 minutes. And I said to him, dude, I'm so rooting for you.
I'm rooting for him, too. Yeah. That's what I would do. If I was still alive, I've been gone for a long time. I've been out of it a long time.
That's right.
If you want to listen to a long-time loser in Survivor, listen to me. But, yeah, I would be going Chargers this week because, yeah, that's Steelers. Steelers with the Panthers next week, I think that's a good spot to use them.
John Blum says, if JBT takes home the Shiva for winning Betsgiving, who's getting the Sacco? Oh, yeah, was that for, like, last place or something?
Well, I think there should be, like, 30 of us that have $0 in our account.
Yes,
yeah.
If you're playing it right. He goes, while we're on the league, am I the only one who thinks Mike McDaniels is Rodney Ruxin's twin? By the way, I watched the first episode.
I don't remember all the names. Like, yeah. They all sound familiar, but I don't know who's who.
The league was just, it was for a moment in time when all of us were playing fantasy football. It was such a great show. It was such a great idea. It was such a great idea that most of us were like, why didn't I do this show? Right? Like, why didn't I come
up with
this show?
What's that one guy's name? The guy Rafi in there? Rafi. He's amazing. Like, everything awesome. He does is
was
hilarious.
Great. The, what was that on FX or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
The, Mike McDaniel said, I watched the first episode of the Miami Dolphins in season Hard Knocks. Totally recommended. Mike McDaniels is, and I was getting confused. Is it Mike McDaniel,
McDaniel
or McDaniel?
McDaniel,
because
yeah.
It's Josh McDaniels
yeah,
and it's Mike McDaniel.
That up too.
Mike McDaniel is such a fascinating, quirky guy who absolutely is 100% authentic, lives by his own constitution. I love every bit about him. Tyreek comes off very likable. The Dolphins organization comes off as very likable. Yeah. Those players, Tua. It likable beyond belief. So I recommend it for everybody.
Oh, I'm sure it's great. Yeah, I've gotten to it yet. Just debut last night?
I believe so, yeah.
I feel like they've been promoting it for 2 months, but I never knew when they were actually going to start the dang thing. Yeah. But, yeah, McDaniel's an incredible story. And I think just how open he was about his alcohol problem and stuff like that, like early in his career, like all that, the story's just amazing.
Can you believe that 2013 Washington staff?
I know, it's ridiculous.
Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Mike McDaniel, who am I forgetting, Matt LaFleur.
All of
them on that staff. But Daniel Snyder. Couldn't see. Never mind. Don't get me started. Okay. Let's talk about some adjusted season win totals in the National Football League. Let's do it. We don't have an intro, do we?
No,
we don't, I suppose. But sexy intro. Right now.
Win total Wednesday.
Win total Wednesday.
That's what I go with.
Is that what we do? Okay.
Yeah. Start AFC.
We lost teaser Tuesday in the divorce.
Yeah, we got teaser time. We just redid it.
Yeah. Last week I gave out Indianapolis plus 180 to make the postseason, which looks even better now. I think they're like plus 100. I would still recommend it because their schedule is cake. Today we talk about adjusted season win totals, which go back to every two, 3 weeks.
Like every 2 weeks I usually put these in here, and I think this might be one of our last times.
I think
you're kind of running out of value now.
I thought the same thing last night. I agree with you completely. So I won't act like I went through every team, but yep. I'll tell you two that I like.
Okay.
First.
Anything in the AFC first?
Okay, let's do the AFC.
Since I split his conference, yeah.
Oh, okay, let's do AFC first. Yes. Let's see if we match. Do you have an AFC team that you like?
There's one I absolutely love here that I will be betting after the show. I think we have them in town, right? Does Caesars have them up?
Caesars, I don't know. I don't know. Like the thing, what Tim Murray, was, I mean, excuse, not Tim Murray, Will Hill just gave us a parlay of awards.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever Nevada gets legalized sports betting,
ooh, boy, watch out.
We can't wait to make bets like that. What did he say? 254 to one? What was he saying?
Yeah,
God
Purdy
bless.
And Tomlin parlay.
How fun would that be?
It's like that's another one. I don't. I guess I've never tried. You might be able to do that at Caesars.
Yeah,
they'd be the only shop.
They're not letting you do that. Texans over.
Texans over. Okay.
Texans over. The Texans right now who have 6 wins. They're 9.5 is what their adjusted season win total is. And this is a over is minus 110. The under is minus 110. I mean, this is a coin flip on this. I'd go over on the Texans here. You're asking them to go 4-2 the rest of the way with the Houston Texans. And let me just read out to you.
Well, and while you pull that up, I have a directly one that basically directly correlates with this.
Oh, okay.
The one I wrote down was Titans under. They're 6.5, and the Titans and Texans meet twice in the remainder of the season.
There we go. So we are kind of simpatico.
Yeah.
And here is the Texans the rest of the way. Home Denver, which I think they win. That's one of my bets this week.
Yeah, one of your bets, yep.
Then they're at the Jets, at Tennessee, home Cleveland. We don't know who's playing quarterback for Cleveland. Home Tennessee, as you said, the home and home with Tennessee in a 3-week span. And then at Indianapolis. I don't think it's too much to ask them to go 4-2 there. I would take the over on the Texans. That's highly bettable to me right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I guess I looked at that. I just looked at the Titans side of that. And
yeah.
I think they're very, like, with 6 games left, you're very correlated when you're playing twice. Okay, the one I got to bring up with you.
Yes, sir.
Joe Burrow ain't coming back anytime soon, right?
No, sir. Uh-uh.
What the hell is this win total? We're posted on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, I missed it. What was it?
7.5 is what we're up to right now. So I got to win. They got to win 3 games left. 3 games. At Jacksonville, they got the Colts at home, Vikings at home, at the Steelers, at the Chiefs, Browns at home.
They just got to win 3 games.
They got to win 3 games.
3 games.
I don't see 3 wins there.
No.
This is an offense completely designed around a quarterback that is absolutely out of it. Do I know that Jake Browning is bad?
I
don't know that he's absolutely bad. But I think with the way this offense is designed, it's not designed for him. And the defense isn't good enough, I don't think, to carry them to 3 wins here.
It's possible. I mean, they have a home game against the Colts. I already told you how I feel about the Colts. If Dobbs played like he played on Monday, home game versus the Vikings, right, you could talk yourself into that. At Steelers, home Browns, if you don't know who's playing quarterback. I hear what you're saying.
I just think this quarterback drop-off is so massive. I think that was the one that jumped out to me the absolute most.
Okay, the other one I like, real quick.
Yep.
NFC. And I know this sounds chalky McChalkerson, but the Niners are at 12.5.
I considered this one, too.
They got 8 wins. They got to go 5-1. I have them beating the Eagles this week. So that's obviously key to that, the calculus of that. After that, it's home Seattle, at Arizona, home Baltimore, at Washington, home Rams. unless that last game means nothing to them, which I don't think it will. I don't think we will arrive at that where it will not mean anything to them. I think it will mean something to them based on still trying to get that number one seed. I think they go 5-1 down the stretch. Again, starting with, I think they win this weekend. If you don't think they're going to win this weekend, then I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay, I like it. I did look at that one, too. And real quick, I know we're running out of time. The one I landed on NFC I liked the most was actually Cowboys under, but I'd wait till after this week. After this week against the Seahawks. And then you got Eagles at home, at the Bills, at the Dolphins, Lions at home, at the Commanders, and you got to get over 11.5?
DK Network, Dan Le Batard is next. We're coming back with Mike Pritchard. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.